triggering Dodd-Frank.
All right. George, these options have nothing to do with Dodd-Frank, except this. Dodd-Frank's all about seller financing. If you are giving credit for debt reduction, that's going to be considered an installment sale. Therefore, it should be one of your three per year deals you can do with owner financing to remain exempt. Okay?
All right. Next question is from Melanie Balk, it looks like.
Melody, excuse me.
Question for later. Mortgage broker I met with who will eventually help my buyers get loans.
All right, stop. That's a buyer's question.
All right.
Next.
Come back to that.
Melody wasn't listening when I said don't ask questions about subjects we haven't covered yet.
All right. Tony Profit. How about that for a last name?
I love that name.
Tony, where do we go to get the fillable forms promised on the sales?
I'm going to go to the Gold Club site here in a minute and show you the forms and some lessons that you should take as well.
All right. So this is from Alfonso Morello. Is there anything that needs to be considered when lease optioning a house in Texas with the intent to exit out?
Alfonso, Texas is illegal of its own when it comes to lease options. The main thing you've got to know is that you must own it to lease option it out to a tenant buyer, and then you can collect non-refundable deposits. But when you're getting a lease option agreement from a seller, they can lease option it out, which means you can assign that contract and you're okay to get the assignment fee. Again, if you really want to get up on Texas lease options, you should be in my net coming up next week because it's 4 days and most of it is going to be Texas people. But we are going to do a lease option webinar for Texans in May the 8th. Okay, May the 8th, put that on your book.
Right. This is from Vicki Watson. Aren't you still in the deal on an axe deal until the buyer cashes out?
Absolutely not, Vicki. The minute we assign that contract, we are done. We have nothing to do with it from that point on.
All right, Kyle, what mailing list do you use when sending the yellow letters for free and clear?
I let my mail house pick the mailing list, Kyle. We just decide what type of seller we want to mail to, which is free and clear, pick the price range of the house, anything above $300,000 in our case, and we pick the area.
Yep, zip codes.
Zip codes.
All right, Tony Profit again. In some areas, you need to get a license to rent a house. Are we liable to get that license, or does the seller get that?
Well, Tony, I can't answer that because you're gonna. That's all local stuff. You're gonna have to go to somebody who can answer that for you locally, and I'll bet you will find that it ain't what you think it is. Rarely is what the gossip spread have anything to do with the reality.
All right, this is from E. If you have to renegotiate and rewrite the contract with the seller after you find a buyer, I don't understand how you can control the deal and or keep the seller and the buyer from circumventing you unless you have some non-circumvention language in some document with the seller and some document with the buyer. How do you handle this issue?
You work too hard at creating problems, girl. Why don't you answer that?
Yeah, you know, look, you have an agreement with the seller. You're not changing the agreement until you have a buyer. And, of course, we usually don't go back until we have a deposit from the buyer.
So. Well, the truth is, if we don't get cooperation out of the seller, we don't have a deal anyway.
That's exactly right. The seller changes their mind. Yeah. So I get those questions every once in a while. If you represent yourself with confidence, I don't think you're going to have that problem.
And could you get in run? Buyer trying to in run you? But don't forget, we have a contract with the seller. So, you know, if you want to pursue it, you got a legal remedy. But honestly, I don't think you need to worry about it. We only have one instance of that I can think of. And we won because we made it clear to both parties we weren't going to just cave in and walk away.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Troy. How about New York? Can you sandwich lease in New York?
None of this will work in New York, Troy. Yes, you can sandwich lease in New York. You can't sandwich lease in Texas, but you can in New York.
All right, Troy, again, it says, my attorney hasn't heard about this. I just asked him. And let me just answer that.
What exactly?
Well, I'm assuming it's Axe, but Troy, I've got some students I work with in Oklahoma City, and their attorney, the top attorney in the city, and one of the most
well-known state.
No, he's from the North. I think maybe he was the New York guy, but their attorney had not heard of it either. It's, you know, pioneering, if you will, and it just is a...
Heard of what exactly?
I guess Axe.
Well, of course they haven't heard of Axe. But they've heard of assigning contracts, I can assure you of that. So be careful what you ask. You know, garbage in, garbage out. They don't know what axe means.
This is from Carrie Dodson. If I have leads that I have generated via a mail campaign, can I hand those off to a VA for follow-up?
That's exactly what I would expect you to do. Let the VA call them to get the property information he's completed. Email them back the assignment, it's most likely going to be to a landlord. I'm not saying there's not a deal there. The good news is you have nothing to lose by trying.
We've got a couple of landlord deals, not multis, but we've axed deals from landlords before.
Yeah, yeah.
Not as prevalent, but they're out there.
Yeah. In fact, most of these deals, if the cash flows there, make real good sense to landlords.
All right, this is from Jeff Hurt. What does it cost to have a VA or to employ a VA?
Well, Jeff, I already went over that. That is in your manual. And I can't tell you what page it was on again. I'll look for it here, but it's right in your manual. And I also discussed it thoroughly, if you were with us. And I had the manager of RBA service in the room with us. So, you know what? You keep reading. I'll look for it.
This is from Alfonso Moreno. If I get two VAs, one to be a researcher and one to be a caller, what would be a good pay for each one of them?
Okay, that's page 15. And the manual is our cost for RBA services. I can't answer that. You first should ask what they want. But I'll tell you, I'm really concerned about you getting VAs that will actually get the job done. Any VA will make calls until they decide they don't want to. But will they get you the right answers? It's going to take some training. VAs come, gosh, I don't know, anywhere from $9 an hour and up. I don't know. But then there's good VAs. So you're just going to have to go shop for your own and see what they're asking. Take it from there.
All right, this is from Michael. Looks like Michael Klibanoff. What is prospect whose home you're visiting says to you that he, she, they are interested, but they'd like to take your paperwork for you by their attorney?
Well, we're going to deal with that when we go over the objections. That happens to be one of them.
All right,
next.
All right. This is from James Haynes. Still need to know how many actual visits per deal.
Did you answer that?
Well, it did.
Well, what did you say?
Actual visits per deal, when we actually
get 8 out of 10.
Yeah, we've got some practice ahead of you, but
you get 8 out of 10. I said if you guys get 1 out of 3, you're good.
I think that's good. Okay, 1 out of 3.
Yep.
You're not always going to get the contract, and that doesn't mean you're not going to get it, even though you don't get on the spot.
Right.
All right, this is from Dave. Scott, how many calls to suspects generate your 5 yeses? Well, the 5 yeses that I was stating earlier, James, were from yes calls. So right now, we're getting about half yeses, half no's. So of the half no's, about 20% were able to convert to a yes and find that there may be some discrepancy. All right, Adam Sanchez, can you clarify acts in Texas? As I heard earlier, that you cannot receive an assignment fee if you do not own the property.
That is not true, Adam. That is not true. So either join me in my boot camp or get on the May 8th webinar and we'll show you. In fact, I'll have a guy on there that's done 500 lease option assignments in Texas.
All right, this is from Belinda Harrelson. Do you offer a virtual assistant to take the calls or run ads to collect buyers for rent-to-owns?
We don't know that until we get into the selling side. The next question.
All right, this has to do with obtaining good title. How do you protect the tenant buyer's interest in a long-term?
We don't know that either until we get into the selling side.
All right. All right, if the credit scores have been lowered for FHA, why is it harder to qualify for loans?
It's harder to qualify for loans above the FHA maximum loan. It's getting easier to qualify for loans in the FHA category. I'm telling you right now, in ACTS and in the Pretty House business, you want to be above the FHA maximum loan number, whatever that is where you live, if you want to make the good money.
This is from Drake Jocelyn. How do you handle a due-on-sale clause for the mortgage of the seller?
We don't handle it. We don't worry about it. If we're taking over the debt or buying with owner financing, the seller signs a statement stating they know that the bank could call a loan due, but the bank's not going to call a loan due. And if they do, believe me, it's going to be crystal clear signed in front of an attorney that you're under no liability if they do. At least they haven't on the last 700.
I was going to say,
probably on your first one they would have, because you're special.
All right. Donna Smith, could you list what business items we need to set up prior to doing these deals besides that live account and the sign?
Actually, that's in the front of the book what you need. And all you need to get sellers is somebody calling the FSBOs and who's going to answer the phone when they call. That's all the expenses you have on the front end, other than if you want to pay to run some ads. Because honestly, your VA is your biggest expense to find deals, right? We went over that. We got cards and you have to sign on your vehicle or whatever, but the expenses are minimal.
All right, so Mark Brenner, I have a house I just found in Dallas I would like to axe, but the owner has missed 2 payments to the bank. How does her being in default change how I handle this deal?
Well, you didn't tell me what the payments were. Just know this, you cannot assign your contract to a tenant buyer and take their down payment or their assignment fee without making those payments current. So you've got to make sure that there's something left in it for you. For example, if their payments are $1,500 a month and they're $3,000 behind, actually, I want to at least know I'm going to go out and get a $10,000 assignment fee because I'm only going to wind up with seven. And remember, that's going to change first of next month because there's going to be three payments behind. So if the math works, you proceed. And with two payments behind, it probably does work.
Yeah.
Now, what a great service you're providing with the seller in that, to the seller in that case.
Okay. James Haynes, anyone ever tried to sue you for coercion, although your system is very complete?
Coercion. No, the answer is no.
Nicholas, how do we verify the mortgage info from the seller, title check, or ask for pay stubs?
We don't need pay stubs from the seller. Title check I'm getting to. And how do we verify the mortgages from their documents that they provide to you? Or you can get their loan number and call their banks, IVR, or our automatic system, and literally go through it. It'll tell you what the loan balance is. But honestly, we don't worry about it, man. We don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Usually the seller has something that satisfies our needs on that. Remember this, guys. We're not writing checks. We're not at risk. So when you're not at risk and you're not writing checks and you have nothing to lose, it's kind of hard to lose. So quit trying to think of ways to lose.
Yes.
Go do the deals. I'm giving you the steps in here. If you follow my steps, it'll keep you out of trouble. And also remember, an attorney is going to close every single one of these deals. I don't care what state you're in.
Right. Yeah, we always get the updated mortgage statements at the time that we get the agreement signed.
Pam, from the seller, though, not
seller,
from the bank.
Yeah, from the seller,
yeah.
Exactly.
We don't even get the banks involved in this.
Mm-hmm. I can try to pronounce that last name. What is an LOI?
Letter of intent. Letter of intent. This means you're writing down what you think, or what basically what your offer is. It's non-binding, incidentally. It's not a contract.
How are tax deals taxed by the IRS?
Short-term capital gains sucks. You got to pay the taxes. Anytime you sell a house within the first year, it's short-term capital gains. Whatever tax rate you're in, that's the taxes you owe.
All right. Let's see here. On X or Art Rentone, how do you check the title without being charged a full title fee by escrow?
Well, I don't know how to check the title yet because I haven't got to it yet. When I get to it, I'll answer it.
All right.
All right. Go ahead.
What if I don't have a real estate license by...
You don't need a real estate license, and we covered that. You need to check with your attorney to make sure that you don't need a license to assign contracts. Remember, you're never going to find a buyer for a house, guys, until you have it on the contract to either buy or lease. Let me say that again. You do not even shop for buyers until it's under contract to buy or lease. And please check with an attorney or a professional in your area to make sure that you don't need a license to assign an option. And honestly, it's unlikely you do, and if you do, there's a way around it. But again, contact us. I'm not going to go through all that diatribe for maybe one or two states. There might even be an issue then, and I don't even know there is in those.
All right, this is from Melinda. Is there a place to find statistics or data to support that 80% of buyers can't get loans? I have a partner that wants to continue flipping to retail buyers. I want to prove that this is risky due to the lack of retail buyers.
I'd go to realtor.com. And also try city-data.com. And in fact, why don't you just ask Google? maybe God bless Google.
Not Siri.
Don't ask Siri. Ask Google, which doesn't do anything but ask Google. So.
All right. This from Lawrence. On Ron's $40,000 example, is the $30,000 down a payment or a down payment or assignment fee?
We're gonna get to that, and we're gonna tell you how to distinguish the difference when we get into the selling side.
Yes. All right.
How many more we got? We got to get going.
We got a bunch. What is two more?
We're going
to
move on.
All right. What is prospect whose home you're visiting says to you that we cover this, that they want to talk to their attorney?
Yeah. Okay. No, we haven't covered it. We're not covered.
Well, we started that, and you said we're going to cover it a second. When Scott says we will see what the market will bear, what does he exactly mean?
That means we put it on the market and see how big of a down payment, how big of a monthly payment the market tells us they will pay. Again, we haven't covered that yet. All right.
All right,
take one more, Scott. All right, go on.
This is from Darren. With Napoleonic law in Louisiana, if I pronounced that right, is there any special issues with contracts like in Texas?
Not that I know of, but this is a question you should ask your attorney again. But make sure that attorney is a real estate attorney, guys, and fully versed and investor-friendly. Again, if you have a problem with your attorney, you might want to get a second opinion before you let your attorney talk you out of doing his business. I have all kinds of students in Louisiana, just for the record. All right. Well, guys, over because there's too many of you. As you don't know, we are at our cap of 500 on this simulcast, and obviously that generates a lot of questions. So, again, we haven't even talked about selling houses yet, so we got to get moving. I'm on page 21 on posture, and I think I've made their point on posture. Tell it like it is. Don't be on the defensive. You have no reason to be on the defensive. You're there to buy their house. You're actually doing them a service. If you get that internalized, it'll make a lot easier for you to carry on these conversations. And yet I know that in the beginning stages, talking to that seller is the most scary thing you got to face. I'm trying to give you the scripts. With the scripts and a little training, in a live training, and then a little practice, you'll get it. I remember it took him 6 weeks.
Let me just add something here that I tell people all the time. One thing I've learned from Ron more than anything else is posture. That is just so paramount to everything. When you are begging or pleading for the business, the minute that you indicate to the seller that you need them more than they need you, you've lost your posture, you've lost your leverage. So remember, value your time, respect your time, and that will come through the seller, and they will value it as much as you do. So key. It's hard to, it's an intangible, but it's so key.
And frankly, if you just learn to tell it like it is and quit trying to keep secrets, just tell them the facts. I always want you to address the elephant in the room first. If you think there's going to be an issue, get it out of the way, and it'll determine whether you go forward or not. For example, we've had several cases lately working with my student down in South Florida. I mean, we've had, $2, $3 million houses where they want 50% down. Well, that's an elephant in the room. That's probably point blank. Tell them, if you're going to insist on 50% down, there's really no reason for us to meet. All right. Some will, some won't, so what? Someone's waiting. We are looking for the few that pass our screening test, not the many who don't. In any business, no matter what it is, the majority comes in, and you weed them down to the minority you can work with. But fortunately for you, the minority is more than you can handle. More than you can handle. You better ask yourself, how many deals do I have a month? One, two? Guys, that is not very many leads before you get the one or two deals. You think about this. Deal comes in, I call the seller, I get good answers, I go out and I get a contract. First part's done. Now all I got to do is implement the sales system we're getting to. Second part's done. Beautiful thing here is, within a few days or a few weeks max, you're getting a check without all the costly entanglements. So that's what we like about the act so much. All right. By the way, guys, I forgot two things. I was telling you about our boot camp a while ago, so please make note because people are registering for this thing at a rapid pace, but they don't even know they're getting this yet. I have a certificate here that I'm going to send you that I usually reserve only for people that I get in front of face-to-face, but I guess that's what I'm doing today. So I'm going to offer you this. This is my 90-day consulting certificate where you work with me personally. And this says you can send me all the property information sheets you want for the next 90 days as long as it comes with a sheet attached and by email or by fax, and I will personally respond on what I think you should do with them. And if I can't do it, Scott will do it. Between the two of us, you're going to get very, very quick answers. So for the next 90 days, we're going to get married, and I'm going to be working with you to generate deals, and hopefully even before you arrive at the boot camp. So you can get started right away. Go to virtual training, like tomorrow. Go to start taking the event. Get through the first few lessons. Listen to the AX course. The AX course, which you've either already got or hopefully is coming to you. Listen to those 10 CDs. Start sending me leads. And I'll help you get some deals done, which, by the way, anyone will pay for way, way, way more than the cost of your training. In fact, the minimum deal, I won't. I don't even want a $5,000 deal anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, our minimum is $10,000. You just got a chance to get into this training for 25% of that amount, so you do the math. Also, I didn't tell you this. If you purchase this event, we are going to set up your first LLC for you. So we're going to do it for you. Now, we're not paying the state fee, but there's no other cost. We're going to get you your first LLC. Just two bonuses I want to throw in today, so get on there and get registered. All right. We got to get going. Let's talk about objections. I am now on page 23. We're going to handle those objections that you worried so much about. And lo and behold, look at the first one on the page. I need to let my attorney see the agreement. Now, how about that? All right, guys, I've laid them out for you in the simplest form I can. And the reality is, the higher priced house, the more they're going to want their attorney to see the agreement. Agreed?
Yep, not always, but yeah.
Not always, okay. There's really nothing you can do except let their attorney see the agreement. First of all, you need a meeting of the minds. If you don't have a meeting of the minds, you have no agreement. You have no agreement. So you give them a blank agreement, let them take it to their attorney. If they're releases me and the seller releases me. I have no more relationship. So if it doesn't work out, buyer doesn't pay, I instruct the seller, call me. If the seller doesn't call me, I have no obligation to do anything. And if the seller calls me, I only will do it if I feel like doing it. But again, why wouldn't I do it? Why wouldn't I go back, solve whatever problem there is, start all over, buy and do it all over again, collect another assignment fee? Of course you want the seller to call you. A, it's the right thing to do. B, it's another payday without having to go find another house. All right, when will you sell the house and get my loan paid off? I have no idea because I'm not going to get your loan paid off. The person that I put in the house will that you approve. And if they don't, call me. That's all I can promise you. If that is not, if that won't work for you, then I'm not for you. And I know that sounds brutal, but listen, the best thing you can do is take it all away. One of my favorite quotes are, if this won't work for both of us, we shouldn't do it, should we? All right, you gotta write that down, because it works. If this don't work for both of us, we shouldn't do it, should we? Now watch what happens when you pull it back and let them come to, and let them quickly realize your whole life doesn't revolve around their pathetic house, okay? If they want to keep their house, they don't want to cooperate, they don't want to be reasonable, let them have it. We're done, we're out. Move on and wait for them to call you. Because when they see that you don't have to have them in your life and there is no other option out for them, they'll call you back. Just leave the door open. All right, next one on page 24, over-leveraged. Why do you want such a long-term option agreement? Well, if it's over-leveraged, that's easy. Down at the bottom or at the top, because we need time for the debt to pay down and the equity to catch back up because nobody's going to be able to refinance it until it does. Very simple. If you have any problem with that, they understand. They clearly understand that. Yeah. In fact, they probably don't even ask that question. The truth is, you hardly ever get these questions. You read the attorney question from time. Yeah. Not over-leveraged. Why do you want such a long-term lease option? Because the longer I can offer to the market, easier it is for me to attract the quality buyers that we'd want in your home. However, this is flexible, and to be honest with you, until I go find out what the market will tell me it'll do, I'm flexible on the term as well. Let's go see what the market's got, and then we'll come back and we'll make sure that the term is acceptable to you. Remember, Mr. Seller, if you don't accept them, we can't put them in your house. Okay.
Never lose your privacy.
All right. How do I know I can trust you on the next page? Well, you don't have to trust me because I'm not making any payments. I'm going to go find somebody who will. Then you can determine if you trust them based on the information we bring to you. And then we put them in the house only if you say so. By the way, how many times have we had a seller turn down a buyer?
Once.
And that was just this week, wasn't it?
No, that was different. I never got to fill you in on that. But it was the two professors that we had to fire them.
Yeah, we fired them.
They were some feet in the foot. We had a $35,000 buyer, and they were trying to force them. Very rarely. In fact, the seller almost always will approve who you bring to the table. They want to get it sold.
Remember, their income don't start until they approve them. So.
Right.
And honestly, when we get to that, we're not going to bring them a dud anyway. We're not setting anybody up for failure.
We're not setting up for success.
Okay, well, what if the tenant tears up my house? Well, that's possible, but remember, we're getting a financial commitment from them. They're actually not tenants. They're tenant buyers. In our experience, they don't tear up your house. However, no promises. Can't guarantee they won't. So you have to be able to live with that, or this is not for you. That's my answer, guys. That is truly my answer. All right, so anyway, there's the objections. You can study them at your will. But I got to tell you, it's going to be rare you hear any of them.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You go through your scripts, you're not going to get a lot of objections every once in a while. Let me just say this. I learned this a long time ago. Every once in a while, you get a seller who can't get out of the mode of a security deposit that they would feel more comfortable. So I found in a couple cases, actually we had one recently, where by simply conceding 1 month out of the deposit we were going to collect, that made them comfortable enough in case the buyer did tear up their house. So if you feel like you're going to lose the deal over 1 month's payment, you can always concede that out of the deposit.
And here's another one for you to write down. All right, well, listen, I understand your problem. How would you think we should fix it? What's your solution? Let them come up with something and let me put it right back on them. All right, let's go to page 27, and you'll find the lease option agreement there on that page that you will not use for acts, but I wanted to get it in here anyway. The agreement that's on this page, guys, is one we use if we're going to stay in the deal, and it's clearly labeled, use this agreement when you intend to lease and sublease. Do not use it if you intend to assign it. However, I'd be remiss if I didn't put it in here, because you need to know there's two different lease option agreements. There's actually three. There's one where I install a sit here and go through these agreements, but good news for you, write this down, because there are lessons on the Goat Club site that do go through these agreements, and you can go right there. If you're a Goat Club member, you know that there's hundreds of lessons on any subject you could think of there. And if you're not a member, go to ronsgoldclub.com, ronsgoldclub.com, and become a member. If you're not going to join our VA service, which means you're automatically a member, then for only $59 a month, you can get all the benefits of this magnificent site, which includes every form and agreement that I've got and a massive amount of lessons. Anyway, write this down. Lesson number 90. Well, first you go to the Goat Club site, and then you pull and you look at training at the top. You know what? Let me just show them, shall I? Okay, let me show them. We're going to go right to the site, guys. And this is your membership site. Camera, follow me. All right, follow me with a camera. Well, never mind. I need a point, though. You're on the membership site right now, assuming they've not logged in yet. All right? Right? Okay. Guys, all right, this is the site you get after you get your code, which is permanent. Then you'll get to this site right here, and you'll see training right here. See? Training. Go ahead and pull training up, and you'll see that there's training on just about everything. So let's scan down here and go to residential real estate, because there's 136 videos on there. And if that's not enough for you, there's another 100 something below that. Let's go to Quick Start Real Estate. There's 120 videos right there. And now if you scan down to lesson number 91, wait a minute, stop. Let's do a lesson 11 first, moving on up. Lesson 11 is on down. Okay. All right. Locating prospects. Calling FSBOs. That's a great lesson on it. You don't have to pull it up. That's a great lesson on just that. I just wanted to show you where these lessons are. Now let's scan down to 91. Wait a minute. Well, go ahead. 91. 91 is on contracts. Agreements to use with acts and sandwich lease options right there. So you go down there and you pull that up, and I do a whole seminar for you on how to use these agreements that are in your book. Now let's go to lesson 105. And boom, 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 105 is on. There's the Eagle Virtual Assistant. If you want to go there, that talks about virtual assistants. And Jennifer and I, there's where Jennifer and I discuss our VA program, what it does, what it doesn't do, and all of that right there. And then lesson 12, well, let's stop at 42. Lesson 42 is on work for equity. And you guys ought to make a note to go take that one as soon as you can. Right here, that's a seminar on work for equity. Very worthwhile you're taking, because any property that we get that needs repairs, we put it out in the market as is. We do not repair them. Less repairs you do, the more money you make. And then lesson 12 is all about yellow letters. Lesson 12 is all about yellow letters. So there's plenty of lessons right there. Now, if you go back to the top, John, and pull up resources. Right here, guys, resources. There's every form and agreement that we've got, and there's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of agreements right here. So now let's go down here to forms and agreements right there. There's 97 of them. And then I want you to pull up control without looking. Look at how these are segmented. There's work for equity right down there by itself. You have commercial, residential, Canada, U.S. Oh, four checklists. See that four checklists right there, brand spanking new. These are the checklists that go inside of your file for any kind of a deal. There's a buyer's checklist and a selling checklist where all of the documents that need to be in your file are right there for you, and the administrative duties that need to go in the process of buying or selling any kind of a deal. These were just posted. Pull up control without ownership, please. Obviously, that's self-explanatory. That would be all your lease options and acts deals. And now if you'll scroll down, I'll tell you when to stop right now. This is the agreement that we're looking at in your book right now. Lease agreement with the option to purchase real estate. Sandwich lease for sellers. I don't know what to call it to make it any easier than that. This is only going to be used if you're send our own attorney when we're ready to sell, all the way up now. And the other one, when we get to it, stop, back down. Right here, real property possession. This is the one with the table of contents. This is the one we use to install a tenant buyer if the house is not in too horrible of a shape. This is the one you're going to use the most right here. This is also the one you're going to use to tie up the house from the seller if your intent is to assign it. You're going to assign the key, the same contract that you would install a tenant buyer in the house with, and that's good enough for now. Okay? I hope that gave you a little guidance there, and I hope you understand that there's no form or agreement that we're going to discuss. It's not right there on that site. So, RonsGoldClub.com. All right. Let me just point out a couple things in this agreement because we're running short of daytime here. If you go to page 27, you'll see paragraph 3. That's the rental mount. And there's a place there where you can put in a credit for the payment you make to the seller, if applicable. Your option to purchase is on paragraph 4. Again, I am not spending a lot of time. I'm not going to sit here and read this agreement to you. It's on one of those lessons right there. Of course, if you want to come and get trained live, we'll go over and actually prepare these for every deal that we do. Your right of assignment is on 10. 11 is your maintenance and your repair paragraph, which says that you are responsible for the maintenance and repairs on the property 30 days after you install a tenant buyer, which I wrote in there for you. So seller covers them first 30 days. Tenant buyer covers them after that. That's why we never do any repairs on houses that we install tenant buyers in, ever. If I were you, I'd go look at that work for equity lesson up there as well. On page 29, price and terms, and look at the paragraph 14 where it says price and terms. One thing I do want to point out, if you look at the blank there on paragraph 14, you'll see there's an asterisk. Now look right below that paragraph and you'll see what was inserted in this contract. Purchase price equals the loan balance plus $10,000 plus an IRS lien, and not to exceed $123,500. We spelled out there that the purchase price equals the loan balance, so it changes every month. If you make the mistake of putting $123,500 in that line there where that asterisk is, guys, you're gonna owe $123,500 5 years from now. So don't make that mistake. Use this as a guideline, because that same line will apply to any lease option deal, buying or selling, where the intent is for the debt to pay down monthly. All right. Next page, on page 31, you will find the notice of real estate option agreement. That is to be recorded, but only if you feel the need. Now, in Pennsylvania, for example, I understand the law says you have to record this with an option, and there might be a few other states as well. The form is in here. It does not hurt you to get it signed whether you intend to record it or not. But when you do record this, this puts a lien on the seller's title and they can't go sell on the house and they ignore you and then violate the contract that they just signed. We do not use that in Florida. There's no law that says we have to record the option like there is in Pennsylvania. So we don't use it. There's no deal that we care enough about to go record this and protect. But if it's a long-term deal and I don't own the house, I probably would record this if there's a lot of equity in it. All right, next page you're going to love. Your attorney's going to love it, I'll tell you that. It's our seller's acknowledgement form, commonly referred to as a CYA letter. Guys, I want this signed every time you lease purchase a house or if you get the deed subject to, this must be signed. I think you're perfectly capable of reading this on page 33 and 34. When you do, you'll see why it's such a beautiful document. It clearly states that we are not misrepresenting anything, and they're in sound mind, and they're not on drugs, and they're making their own decisions, and we're going to make a profit. We have the right to do whatever we darn well please with this house, and they're not entitled to anything other than it's in that contract. And notice there's a place to initial every single paragraph. This will be signed in front of your attorney when you install a tenant buyer or a buyer in the house. Let me say that again. You don't get these signed in the home, do you? No. Your attorney gets this signed when he's preparing the documents, because you don't need this until you find the buyer or the tenant buyer. When you know you got a deal, that that's when you're going to bring your attorney in. And then when he's closing the buyer, he's also simultaneously going back and getting some documents signed by the seller. This is one of them. And you definitely want this COA letter signed because this will probably prevent anybody from ever coming back to you later because they think you took advantage of them. And if you read this thing, you'll see why. It couldn't be more clear. We disclosed everything. Front and back, initial on every paragraph, and then signature at the bottom. When you have this in your file, very little chance you're ever going to get attacked. And if you did get attacked, you've got the evidence. And this is hard for an opposing attorney to get past right here, especially when this is signed in front of an attorney. So again, this must be signed. Do not take the top property subject to stay in a lease option deal unless this COA letter is signed. Any comment on that?
No, I would say we don't get it signed at the house for two reasons. One is it's just a lot for the seller to read at the time.
Yeah.
The less front to do what we need. And, of course, anything in front of the attorney is that much more powerful.
And there's really no need until you find the buyer.
That's exactly right.
And this might be a little difficult for you to understand, but until you find the buyer, you don't have a deal. So, and you don't know the terms. That's the long and short of it. But then under contract to buy is just the first step. Until that buyer comes along, you really don't have anything to negotiate. You don't have any reason to negotiate. And you don't have a deal. But when you do find the buyer, that's when we get the paperwork done. Both sides by your attorney. The only thing you need to get done up until now is some kind of an agreement to control the property from the seller and the authorization to release you'll see on page 35. If you'll move it to 35, please. You'll need these two things signed by the seller. This gives you the authorization to give you any information on the house in case you ever wanted to notify their bank. We don't, though, do we? But your bank will not give any information without this signed by the seller. You only need one of them, and you need their social, but it must be signed. Should have that. So when we go into the house, we're going to get a lease option agreement signed or a purchase and sale agreement signed, one of the two, and that's it. We're done, plus the authorization. We're out. That's the only documentation that we are going to confront the seller with personally and get signed. And again, as we're installing the tenant buyer, the attorney is going to have contact with that seller and get more documents signed, such as the CYA letter and a few other things that are in here, plus anything the attorney wants to get signed to comply with state or federal rules surrounding whatever type of deal you're doing. All right? We'll take a breath. This is hard to do, guys, in 5 hours, I'll tell you. All right, page 36 is check the title. Step one, get an agreement signed by seller, whether it be lease option or purchase. And purchase could be subject to cash or owner financing. By the way, I've just told you the only ways to tie up a property. Cash, subject to, means you're taking over the debt, owner financing, or possibly an option without a lease, or a lease option. Regardless of how you tie up the property, you want to make sure that you can deliver clear title to the buyer. You don't want to put the buyer in a position where you're taking 10, 15, 20 grand of their money and then later find out that they can't buy this house even if they go get a new loan. So we want to check the title before we install a tenant buyer. But the truth is we don't check the title until we get a tenant buyer, do we?
Yeah, we changed that policy early on. We decided that until we have a buyer and are at least within sight of closing, that's what we're calling. There was one of the questions. Well, we pay $25 for what we get.
Title search.
Title search.
Now, remember now, that's just a search, and they send us an email if they have any problems. Okay,
right.
So it's not we only be accountable for.
Well, they sent us an email to verify that, yes,
yeah.
Here it is. There's a mortgage, and here's
yeah.
The information. But they're not guaranteeing anything. They're just giving us kind of a basic lead search. And
title search. Guys, we do not buy title insurance on pretty houses. We don't have any money in them. Right. Only time I buy title insurance when I'm paying cash for a house. I don't need title insurance in the pretty house business. We don't have any risk. But we do need to check the title. So I'm just saying you've got to get a title company, make a deal with them to check the title, and just send you an email if there's any issues. That's all you need. Our guys will even produce an abstract, which is a whole pile of paperwork, showing whatever's recorded on our records for $75. But why? I don't even need that. I just need that. Just get me that email from the title company saying the title's clear, and that goes in our file and it's in there.
Right. And yeah, obviously, ask the seller up front, any other leads or occurrences that I need to be aware of. And people lie and not tell you the truth. I'm sure you put all the lies involved. But for the most part, we've never had a problem, by the way. I'm sure there have been examples out there. But ask them up front.
people's houses, ran ads having people call us, and when maybe when you get trained, do a yellow letter campaign. Remember, that's in that green course I offered you, and of course we teach it at the boot camp. We do not teach it in a control without ownership, though, but it's easy information. In fact, you also can go to that lesson on the Gold Club site. So, we call ads, we run ads that are free online, we call signs, or better yet, we have our VAs do it, and that gets us the property information sheets we need on a consistent basis, and then we call the yeses, and then we call the noes. So far, that's all we've done. All right, then we make appointments with the yeses that we like the right answers on, and they're either going to be a purchase or a lease option. We go out and we do one of the two based on the conversation and whether we're buying it or whether we're leasing it. And then we get a contract signed, and then we go into the selling mode, which is what we're going to do right now. Get a contract signed, and then go into the selling mode, and don't forget to check the title. Have to find the buyer that you like. How many times have we checked the title on these big, beautiful homes and had an issue?
I've never had one.
Never had one. Most likely because when people go get a loan on their property, they don't get title insurance anyway, so if there's an issue, they find it then. But, you know, a lot of things can happen after that, especially on your free and clear houses. But most of the time, it's just not an issue, guys. And remember, if it is an issue, your title company will tell you, and then you just deal with it. Like we did have one time. We had one once. That was an all-cash deal, though. So we had to go get some documents signed. Yeah. But on the pretty houses, they just don't do it. All right. We're going to move into the selling mode now. Okay. I'm on page 37, and we're going to go through what we do to sell houses. And you're probably going to be shocked how simple it is. Okay, so let's get that out of the way, because it is true. We can go get all the contracts we want from sellers, but until we get that buyer and get their money, we got nothing. So to go get these contracts signed by sellers is kind of like getting the ball up to the five-yard line and not getting across the goal line. All right, on page 37, I want you guys to remember that when we are selling houses, we are not looking for qualified buyers. And you got to internalize that, or you just won't understand why what we do works. We are not interested in people with good credit. They're a pain in the neck. You know, they want to make all the rules. They want to do all the negotiating. They want to take all the fun out of the deal. So I'm going to let you rehabbers handle those folks. We're interested in people who don't have good credit. So we want the 80% of the market that don't have good credit. And we are going to set them up to where they can get this big, beautiful home that they ache so bad, the American dream of home ownership, without going to a bank, without putting up, well, they're still going to put up a down payment, but their credit is not important to us. Now, I mean, it's not totally ignored, but it most everybody we have has poor credit. So that's what we're looking for. And keep that in mind. Because that's going to assist you in attracting this kind of clientele. And as we go through here, you'll see that it's those words, it's those buzzwords that brings them to us. If we're out there trying to find those qualified buyers, it's hard to find those buzzwords, okay? We got a beautiful house. You know, it's gorgeous. Yeah. Only one like it within 10 feet, you know. So it's kind of hard to separate it because every realtor and builder in town is looking for that same buyer. But when you can advertise owner financing or lease purchase, the calls come, and they come, and they come, because the demand's 100 times bigger than the supply.
Let me just a quick comment here. That's exactly right as far as the target buyers that we're looking for. One of the things I will tell you is we always want to set everybody up that we work with for success. We want to see, everyone we deal with, feel as if it was a win-win. I find some of the students that I get to work with seem to always try to find reasons why that buyer won't work, or try to qualify them as if they were a traditional buyer. And I find that sometimes people have problems selling because they're really judging too hard the buyer.
Exactly.
Right off the bat, before they've gotten them engaged, before they've really seen if they love the home, and if they can make it work units for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's the right time to interject that, but it's happened two or three times in the past week that I've had people tell me about that, and I find that they're just really trying too hard to qualify them today. By a traditional standard, and hurting himself in the process.
Guy Scott is one of our mentors. He works with people, several 10, 12, 15 people a week, one-on-one, and he's in a good position to see all the mistakes that people make, and that is just one of them. trying to put a round peg in a round hole. Anybody can do that. We need to put a square peg in a round hole. That means our whole goal here is to find people who have something to work with and then figure out a way to get them in the house if we like what they have to work with. That's the long and the short of it. Okay, and of course, our number one objective is how much money do they have? If they don't have enough that we think they ought to have, or they can't get it, they're out. It's really not simple. We're looking for the people who can put up thousands of dollars for down payment or deposit. And if they can't, then we have no reason to do business with them. Now, you rehabbers, you're looking for people with excellent credit. And plus, they still got to have a little money. Well, they don't for VA and they don't for USDA, but you're looking for the credit people. Okay, you can have those. We'll take the rest as long as they've got money. If they don't have money, I can't put them in the house, and neither can you. That's why we got to get the many, come into the funnel, sort them down to the people who have money, do that on autopilot, and then work with the people who have money to plug them into a house. And the more houses you have, the easier that becomes. So first, let's start with age 39. You're going to attract buyers from online and offline. And in fact, I'd venture to say you get way more buyers offline than you do online, don't you? Meaning calls.
Yep.
Second,
I have my favorite sign.
Let's wait until we get to signs. Okay. We're going to get people to call us, guys. And there has to be a system set up to take these calls. Please do not take them yourself. If you take these calls yourself, you're going to be a basket case. And I promise you, it's going to drive you. I remember way back in the early 80s when I was doing this all myself. I was taking calls all day. I'm telling you, I got to the point to where when the phone rang, it made me nauseous. I just did not want to hear the phone ring, and yet I knew if it didn't ring, I was out of business. And it took me several years to figure out I got to stop taking these worthless calls, because the truth is 90% of them are worthless. It still amazes me. People want to buy a $150,000, $200,000 house, and they got $2,000 to work with. Well, where are you going to do that at? I mean, the FHA requires 3.5% down payment plus closing costs. You know, even to do an FHA house, if the seller is not paying the buyer's closing costs, the buyer needs about 7.5% of the sales price in cash. So, you know, I don't care where you live, you're always going to get calls from buyers who are not qualified to buy, even with your standards, should not even be calling you, but they're still going to do it. So, you don't want to take these calls. By the way, your conversation's the same every time. Every time your conversation's the same, it's old. I want you to get automated. All right, on this page right here, on page 39, you'll see the guideline to set up a voicemail box. Pat Live will set you up a voicemail box. Any company with voicemail boxes will set you up. PatLive.com/Ronald Brand. I think it's $30 a month. And they got multi-port boxes. And multi-use boxes, for example, you can set it up so caller calls in and your voicemail says, hi, thanks for calling Eagle Home Buyers Hotline. If you wish to talk to a live person now, press 0. Or if you want to hear about the house you called, just continue listening. And here's this script on page 39. You have to record one of these for every house you have for sale. If you go right down the list, it just gives you a guideline. And if you have multiple houses, then you have a port for each house. If you were calling about the house on the north side, press 1. South side, press 2. Blah, 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 blah. Now when they get into that port, same guideline description here, it sends them to the house. And if you wish, it gives them the lockbox code. Some people just give them the code, like me, if they're my houses, because I don't care. Especially if the house needs work, what are you going to do to it? But if it's a big, beautiful home, you do not want to do that. You want to send them to the house, take a look at the inside, and then call you if they want to get in. Is that the way you do it?
We usually like to know if it's vacant, we're totally good lockbox, although we will ask them to give us a call back, make sure that we know they've been in and out locked up. As long as we screen with them, we're okay.
Because you give me a cell phone, you got a speaker on that. I'm going to call our voicemail system for you right now. Now, I'm going to tell you this, guys. Scott does a little different because Scott doesn't drive them to this voicemail box. We used to. You might want to tell them why. Don't forget, we have a full-time person to deal with buyers. You don't.
Yeah, so we drive them to our voicemail, which has a kind of a basic introductory greeting. It does give them the option within the first 10, 15 seconds of the call to press 0. system and our program, how it works, and then does give you the choice to go into individual portals. At the time, we have such a constant inventory that fluctuates in and out, it became very cumbersome and difficult to constantly update the new homes out of the portal. So we don't have the individual portals anymore. We just say we direct them back to our website to look.
So basically what he's saying is they're too lazy to update it every time to get another house, so they take the easy way out here.
Yeah.
So let me listen to you. Let me let you listen to the easy way out here. I'm going to call our voicemail system. Scott's done is directed them to the website where they can see the houses. That's assuming you have a website with the houses on it. He's also directing them to number two where they can hear a list. Do they hear a list if they go there?
Well, we direct them back to the website. We tell them that every door is constantly fluctuating. So,
so they press two and they get the same
message.
The same
message. Website.
Look at here. You don't have to be that good to do this. You just got to make sure you go through the night, right? All right. So, look. If I put 10 investors up against the wall, all 10 of them would have a different way that they capture calls from buyers. I don't really care how you do it, but I'm telling you right now, if you're going to drive into your phone, you will be changing that pretty quick. All right, just make sure you capture them, because somewhere in this process, we want to build a buyer's list on them, and we can't build a buyer's list really until we get the information on them, and I'm getting to that here in just a minute. And that's where your business is going to get easier, when we have a list of people that are really interested in buying houses and we know what they've got to work with.
Well, let me just add that we do have that when they press the zero to talk to a live operator, we do direct Pat Live on the weekends and in the evenings, and Pat Live will get the base information that we need. And
so you forward
it, yeah.
Yeah, you got to have, guys, you need a dedicated line to selling houses. In fact, Pat Live will give you five of them, local numbers.
Yeah.
And you want one for people calling you on ads. You got a truck, perhaps, with a sign on it. You want one for that. You certainly want one for yellow letters, and that way you can determine what source your leads came from, and you need to know that because you've got to keep track of what's working and what's not working. Now, let's get to the next page, on page 40, and we'll tell you what we do. We run free ads. We run them on Craigslist. We run them on Zillow. We run them on Trulia, and they're pretty much like we have here, adapted to each house. But notice the words lease purchase in great big letters or owner financing. And my favorite words are no bank qualifying. No bank qualifying will drive in the calls. And in those cases where you don't know if it's a lease purchase or owner financing until you get that buyer, just put in there no bank qualifying, period, and leave that open.
By the way, higher dollar homes, owner financing usually makes the bell ring a little bit more for the higher dollar buyers.
Owner financing will make the bell ring for any buyers. Most people would rather buy with owner financing than lease purchase when they can. So when you have the option of making that available to them, you want to work hard to do that. You Texans, I want you Texans to work hard to get that owner financing. Again, you can assign a lease option from the seller to your buyer and collect an assignment fee, but you cannot lease option from the seller and install a lease option tenant buyer in the house. But if you get owner financing from the seller, you can do whatever you darn well please on the back end because you own the house. In Texas, for those of you who don't know this, in Texas, it takes them 21 days to foreclose on a house. So it is literally faster in Texas to foreclose than it is to evict. So owner financing would be big in my world if I lived in Texas. So anyway, we run these ads. That's where a VA is going to come in handy, because you have to, you know, have to change that Craigslist ad every other day, and you should have two or three ads on Craigslist, shouldn't you?
Right. What we do is we create anywhere from 2 to 5 ads for each home, different subject lines that we're going to try to get someone to open the ad. The content of the ad is typically always relatively the same. We'll mix up the pictures and sometimes mix up the content, but it all says the same thing. We're trying to get them to click into the ad itself. You can refresh your Craigslist every 48 hours. So what we'll do is have ideally 2 ads every day for the same house that we refresh. So every single day there are 2 ads that are popping up at different times to kind of stay at the top of the list. And we find Craigslist very effective. Also, add one of the things that we do now require with all of our sellers is access to Zillow. Zillow is a very prevalent hub when it comes to the search engine optimization. Zillow pops up almost at the top and every time you Google a house. So we got into a kind of a habit or a protocol, if you will, of asking every seller for access to Zillow.
Meaning if they're on it, get off on it.
That's exactly that's how they have to actually take it off for us to put it back on.
And, you better make a note of that one. That's important. You can't have an ad on there and then have it on there at the same time.
Exactly right. And you want Zillow. You definitely want Zillow. We also use Postlets, which is Postlets, postlets.com. It's a free service. It has a pretty cool little template. We get on Postlets. When you hit submit, it actually shoots it out to, I think, 6 different websites free of charge. We do find that the constant refreshing on Craigslist is very, very key for us.
It's also the place where you build a little flyer. Postlets or Craigslist, either one, is where you build the flyer with a picture of the house on it and the facts about the house. And that's what people come and see when they're answering your ads. You drive them to that, unless you have a website, which you'd rather drive them to with all your houses on it. In fact, if you want to see our website, we gave you jackshomedeals.com, but our main site is
eaglehomebuyers.com.
Eagle, the bird, homebuyers.com.
Jack's Home Deals will redirect to Eagle, by the way, but eaglehomebuyers.com is our website.
Okay. Go out there and play around. You won't see anything all that exciting, but you will see all the houses we have for sale. You'll be able to see the flyers that we built. You'll see that they ain't that great. And they don't need to be great, guys. They just need to be out there with the keywords in them, like lease purchase, no bank qualifying, or owner financing. Those are your big buzzwords right there. If you get those in your ads, they will come anywhere. All right.
By the way, one other thing. I've been critiquing some ads lately. Anytime you're putting ads in there, don't ever have anything in there that will allow us, a potential buyer, to preclude their interest in the home. I saw an ad the other day that said, only $20,000 down.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, who put that in there?
We better address this.
Yeah, so we really don't put any terms in there because we just want the chance to talk to them.
Never.
We're very good about, within the first 2 minutes of the call, getting to the bottom line with the buyer.
Well, actually, when we get to the script, you'll see it's already done for you.
Yeah,
VAs will even do it. We never publish the down payment. We never publish the deposit. We never publish the monthly payment. Never. There's one exception on the monthly payment, and that's if it's an over-leveraged house and the monthly payment is fixed.
And ideally attractive.
Yeah, attractive. If it's not attractive, we don't even publish that.
No. Yeah, exactly.
So you don't want that again, guys. Ye who name number first have big tennis shoe in thy mouth. The minute you want $20,000 in that paper and somebody comes along with $30,000, you just lost. So we let the market tell us what they'll put down, man. It really will surprise you. Man, we just had a guy come in with $60,000 on the house. We already had an offer on a $25,000,
which bumped him up to 30.
Bumped him up to 30. Because the 60 guy didn't come through. He had run around with $60,000.
Oh, we did. We found him a house, too.
He found him a house. Take, think you found him a house. Okay. He's got my money. I want you to know that. Has run around $60,000 of my money, and I wanted this in the wrong bank account.
That's right. Even if someone that had $15,000 down, which is not a bad little hit, wanted the house, but you had $20,000 required, and they didn't call you, you just lost a good buyer. So you want the chance to talk to them. There's no question.
Yeah.
If you follow the script, you'll get to the answer very quickly.
Ye who speak first lose. We name the price many times, but we never name the down payment or the monthly payment. Monthly payment is just as important as the down payment. If you're willing to take $1,500 a month on the house and somebody comes along and says the most they can pay is $2,000, what's the newly required monthly payment? It's $2,000. So shut up and let the market speak. And I hope you remember that because it's a very expensive lesson. And from now for the rest of your life, never tell somebody what you'll pay for anything until they first tell you what they want or what they'll give. It works for selling and buying. All right. Signs.
Yeah.
You may.
Right.
Guys, signs are a sign is going to get their attention, not your naked body.
This one here, this is my absolute favorite sign.
This is a sign that's in front of a house. We can hold them here.
Yeah, okay. So what we did, we actually come to find that the red and black offset really makes it pop when you drive it down the road.
It does, too.
What we do is, actually, every Friday, we in Jacksonville, you have sign police. You probably have where you live, too. And they like to pull these things down. So on every Friday, we target at least two or three homes. It's optimal for us to put anywhere from four to six of these together. And we leave it, this is my favorite, as it rounds no bank qualifying. The middle section here is the part of town. In this case, Fruit Coast is a very attractive part of town. We give some basic highlights of the home and the number. We actually choose not to put our website on there. Kind of want to look like a homeowner's putting
it. Yeah, you've got to be careful about overcrowding your sign, guys. Yeah. This one's a little overcrowded, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm. Our intent is to get, we try to get this within a half-mile radius of the home, and we put it at the busy intersections.
So this is your pointer sign.
Yes and no. That's, we really are just in the general area. There are times we'll put an arrow on it when we are on the street corner.
See, it's got the phone number on it, guys, so they can call
and
get the voicemail box and guide them to the house.
That's exactly right.
So the clerk would say, if you're interested in the house in Fruit Cove, press 3.
Right.
And it tells them about the house.
We just want them to call. So I tell you what, this thing, without exception, is by far the biggest call generator that we have. We put six of these out on a weekend. I tell you, we'll get 24 phone calls just on from these six signs alone.
Yep. Side A, side B.
Distinct differences.
Side A. Oh, they're the same.
Okay.
All right. So you put these on sticks or on wires?
Put on the wire.
I hate those wires.
Yeah,
they're too easy.
Right. So I know this sounds really simple, but you ever been driving down the road at 40 miles an hour and you see a sign in the middle of the street and you say, who the heck can read that? You know, you want to put these at the red lights, you know, where the cars are pulling up and they're going to be stopped.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit faster.
Until they come up missing.
They will. And they will. But you want to be busy areas that are going to be in relative proximity to the subject property. And, again, you'll be amazed at the calls that you get.
Come out Friday evening, pick them up Sunday evening, and then you won't get calls, and you might save some of the signs.
Okay.
Maybe not there permanently. They're going to come up missing because if this self-appointed local sign police don't get them, the city will.
We have a student out of Atlanta that put these out for $1.3 million home, found a buyer. First weekend, maybe second week, he put these out, $300,000 down, and wants to prepay $60,000 of rent for a year just from these signs.
Yeah. What does this cost?
Oh, a couple bucks. We get a big box of 25 with the plain whites.
Yeah.
All right. And then, of course, the big markers.
Now, notice, guys, this is a handwritten sign. It truly is handwritten.
It truly is written.
Okay. Guys, please don't have these printed. The uglier they are, the better they blow. And I hate fighting this battle because I know women want to make them pretty. It is pretty. Leave it alone. You tell me. Will this attract your attention more than a store-bought sign? Answer is absolutely yes. You will get 3 calls for one of these handwritten signs that you get from one of those store-bought signs. I've proved it over and over and over again. Ugly. This one ain't so ugly. Actually, it's kind of pretty. So whoever wrote this is hired. Make sure the letters are fat, because remember, you're reading them from a distance and they're probably moving. Do not overcrowd it. Fat letters. I love them. Tell you, I'm not going to beat this. This really sucks your eyeballs into it, and that's what a sign does.
They get the fat markers. Fat markers, not the thin ones.
Fat markers, yeah.
Okay, this is one that we use for a pointer, or I actually like that in the front yard. We usually have a big fan of multiple signs. You don't want to be too obnoxious, but a little obnoxious isn't too bad. But you know what? We're going back and forth. Excellent terms, flexible terms. We always seem to come back to easy terms. That seems to be, for us,
I like it.
What you make
back and forth.
Okay. And simple handwritten. And
I like that one better, though.
I do, too.
This one should be red and black, too.
Yeah.
All right. What about pointer signs?
I've got those upstairs. Those down.
See that one.
And this is just
for you. Guys, I'm telling you right now, you don't need to put these out to buy houses. They will come up missing quick. You're definitely going to get calls from the city. And we don't need to do it anymore. You're going to get all the houses you need just calling Fizbills. There's a time I put out a lot of these things, but there was a time I spent $5,000 a month just finding sellers. That time is over. We spend almost no money finding sellers, almost no money finding buyers, and what we do spend on mostly is VAs and signs. This sign means I'm selling a house. The city tends to leave you alone more when you're selling than when they know you're a business.
That's really interesting.
That's right. Yeah.
We get nailed on those. I buy signs.
And Jacksonville is $250 fine for every sign they want to impose the fine on.
And that.
All ugly? Plenty of them. How many pointer signs do you put out on each house?
Oh, man, as many as we can. I mean, we love the direction of signs. There's no question. Those get the motor range. So depending on how far the house is, but we'll try to guide them with the arrows. We do. It's a cost of doing business. You're going to have to replace them. There's no question. But, again, we find a lot of our buyers come from people that are actually driving around. It's great to be online. You got to be all over Craigslist and all the other sites.
Our buyers come from people who are driving the neighborhood looking or from people in the neighborhood that bring somebody in if they want to live in that neighborhood.
Both.
And they come from these signs. I guess, guys, I'm telling you, there's nothing better you can do to attract buyers than the signs. You put them out, you're going to get calls before you get back home. True?
Absolutely.
Problem, they got to be put out. So you need to find somebody that's going to put out these signs after you do it and know why you need to find somebody that's going to put out the signs. Because without the signs, calls are going to dwindle. And these are the best calls you can get right here. They had to be in the neighborhood to see the sign. So they're interested. Best calls you can get. And if they're calling on the one in the front of the house, which incidentally is a good question, do you put a different number on the pointers that you have in the front of the house?
You know, we don't. We should. We probably should, but
we should, guys. That way you can tell. If you have a number and it's tagged to the sign in the front of the house and they call on that one, you know they've seen the house from the outside. That's about as an interesting prospect as you're going to get right there. Okay. But if they're calling on the pointers,